afternoon. Welcome to the second half of We the People. We're having a chat today. Today's chatting day. We're not
fireside chat.
We're not overloading you with information. We're not sending you tons of stuff about national security. Although, you know what? My computer's not on me.
You are going to overload us now?
No, I was going to...
I can't handle it. I'm going to get angry.
I was going to underload you with information. No. Our friend in Chicago, Bruce Moran, he sent us a really interesting... Here we go. I knew I had it right here. Right here. Steve Bannon. Speaking of people who cause other people to have, their heads explode, right? He's... obviously, the devil, if you're depending on who you're listening to.
And tell folks who he is, just in case they...
He is the advisor to the president. So he's kind of like the new Valerie Jarrett.
He's like chief advisor, I think.
Yeah. So people are freaking out about this guy. Well, he's 70 years old. He's the same age as Donald Trump, which I did not know. I guess I don't know. I didn't really follow him that closely.
Oldest person to ever be elected president, by the way, too.
First term.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah, because you get older while you're in office.
Reagan was 73 when he was reelected, I believe.
Right.
There you have it. Well, so Steve Bannon, and everybody's all worked up that he's on the Security Council and he doesn't have any business being there and all that. Just out of curiosity, since I can pull three people at one time.
Oh, no, these aren't facts.
You guys know anything about his background? I didn't.
Bannon?
I don't.
Yeah.
The former editor in chief of Breitbart.
Yeah, but what about before that?
I believe he was in the military.
Mm-hmm. Bob, winner.
Chicken dinner.
He was in the United States Navy. He was an officer in the United States Navy for 7 years in the late 1970s and 80s, serving on the destroyer USS Paul F. Foster as a surface warfare officer in the Pacific Fleet and stateside as special assistant to the Chief of Naval Operations at the Pentagon. Huh, imagine that. Upon his departure, he was ranked as a Lieutenant 03.
But he had other administration.
He was the special assistant to the Chief of Naval Operations. That person is the military advisor to the National Security Council, the Homeland Security Council, the Secretary of Defense, and the President. Mm. So he has experience doing this sort of thing before, which is kind of interesting, and I've never heard that, ever.
Somebody needs to tell the media.
I know.
They forgot to report that
I guess
part.
Today we are the media,
yeah.
Eh?
Huh?
So anyway, there you go.
You'll hear it.
So for all those people who say, oh my gosh, what's he doing there? The guy doesn't know anything about anything. Well, apparently he did.
Yes.
It was during the Carter administration and part of the Reagan administration, I think, if I remember correctly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hmm, pretty interesting. So there you go.
Sounds qualified.
Yeah,
I just thought I meant to do that at the beginning,
We were talking about the media and their inability to report the truth, I think, a lot of times. And I say that, lightly, because I think they take a little bit of truth and then they mix in tons of opinion with it. And that's part of the reason people are so wound up is, you can't really blame them when that's the only thing they're hearing.
Sure.
On the TV, on the radio, on your major networks.
And it's not even so much true or false as... sides, it's the sides that's the problem. I mean, you can give the same facts, but if it's all from one vantage point,
and you got to remember,
for eight years we ignored conservatives who were upset,
and it has to be to really be news. By nature, it has to be something negative. So,
bad news sells.
You constantly get this barrage of negative information. And you put that on top of a very contentious election season, and people are cranked up right now.
Well, it's funny because I had someone say no one was angry at Obama. Nobody was unhappy with him. This never happened. I was like, okay, I personally led multiple protests with a lot of people, helped do that.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually there, and I remember a lot of people being worked up about that. However, wasn't covered for the most part, and we never burned anything down.
in your dealings with people, Guy, do you run into people that are upset by things that they hear from the media? I mean, is that ever an issue, or am I just imagining?
We don't...
Don't break Bill's delusion, not here on the air.
We don't discuss politics necessarily, but I think it fills people's cups. Mm-hmm. With everything else is kind of going on, and so it's spilling over. So I think that what happens politically does impact our anxiety, our emotional health, and... in terms of how you help people overcome that, you do that with whatever the source of anxiety it is. You still try to separate your peace from the circumstances that you find yourself in. So it works on any level of anxiety, right, whatever the cause may be. But yeah, people are upset.
Find some peace of mind outside the 24-hour news cycle with 600 channels focused.
But you don't talk about politics, and yet. I find that I'm in retail, so I talk to a lot of people day in and day out. I find that you almost can't have a conversation about anything anymore before you're talking about politics. And I really try not to initiate a political discussion, but people will always bring it up, it seems like. So how do you avoid that?
Well, they're doing it because they want approval. They want acceptance. They will drag you into a conversation because if they can find other people who agree with them, it reinforces their thinking. So there's a motivation there to find stability in numbers and...
Yeah, are we on the same team?
Yeah.
But doesn't that tell you that that's kind of the base of their unhappiness?
Certainly, yes, it does.
Yeah. So you do...
Well, we address it to the degree that you're kind of your own worst enemy here, whether
right.
you're on the right or the left.
Right, right.
The issue of anxiety and groupthink is the same for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not attacking one side or the other, but yeah, we have to be able to say to people, why do you need to be this upset?
Mm-hmm.
What's happening on the radio or on the TV? Is it changing how you live your life today? Live in the moment. Don't fret about the past and don't become so anxious about the future that you actually have no existence in the moment. You have no enjoyment in what you're doing right now today. So let's forget about that and let's focus on...
Well, people who, I hear a lot of those stories, they were unfriended on Facebook by family members,
mm-hmm.
That no longer want to spend holidays together because they're on the wrong side.
Well, it's sad because so much of it... What you just said, so much of it has absolutely no effect on their life. It's just information that's coming in that they're fixated on. But when you step back and look at it, at that moment or in any near future, it doesn't affect you.
Right.
So I think that's where people need to step away from it just a little bit.
I think we're hypervigilant. I think that we are addicted to information.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're afraid we're going to miss something. If there's going to be breaking news, I want to be there and I want to hear it when it happens. One of our major networks, probably in the course of a 30-minute piece on the news has this ta-da.
Yeah.
Fox News alert.
Alert, yeah.
It's like...
And it's never an alert.
It's not an alert.
I know, that always bugs me. It's like, where's your alert? I want it to be like...
Right, but everything has to be alarmism. Everything has to be, let's keep people mm-hmm. stirred
that
up.
That was an alert.
It's an intentional thing. So we are struggling from this hypervigilance, that normally accompanies... PTSD, that events are happening in my life and I can't handle it anymore because they're living vicariously through whatever group they're involved in. They live vicariously even through their television set. And so that's another thing, our identity based on what media is telling us.
Right.
And so I have to find a network that I agree with so that I can find validation in who I am and I can be stabilized.
Yeah, that's a great point.
But if people don't agree with me, then I'm going to be unstable. So the group mentality on whatever level, politics, religion, any number of things, plays a huge part in our health. I was doing a little bit of research here in terms of group dynamic. If I could just kind of go through this a little bit.
Sure.
productivity is the question that is brought up here in regards to groups or committees. It says that the amount and quality of work that we do or don't do is regulated by the group. Social facilitation affects our performance when we are being judged in comparison to others. So productivity is not something that's governed by me and my choices. It's something that is governed by the group, either positively or negatively. At times, groups encourage social loafing. It's easier to hide in a group, and it's easier to hide my own individual performance because I don't want it to be judged separately. I want to be judged as an individual. So that impacts productivity. That is a great argument against socialism, that it's not about individual productivity. Decision-making, that's a good thought. Mm-hmm. You know, how do we, in our group identity, how do we make decisions? I think all of us can say, not well. You know,
anybody who's had to make decisions in a large group,
it's awful.
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
Well, if you've ever been on a jury, you'll figure that one out.
Right, right.
But you always have to be the foreman.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It says, the fates of our families, our corporations, our nation hang on our collective ability to make good decisions. Unfortunately, psychologists have found that groups suffer all kinds of biases and glitches that lead to poor choices. So what we see right now in our government, I think, is we have people who have stepped up. President Trump has stepped up, like him or not like him. He's a decision maker. And he doesn't have to have a powwow. He doesn't have to have, everybody in on it.
He doesn't take a poll and decide, you know, who's going to like me, who's going to not like me.
He's
basically charted a course. He's been very clear about it.
Yeah.
I mean, really, there's nothing that's really all that confusing about his direction.
And that's because he's individuated. His identity is not found in trying to make people around him happy or like him.
Mm-hmm. Which is what's making everyone furious. How dare he?
Yeah.
How dare he be that way? Which is kind of funny because if you look at it, do you really want a mealy-mouthed group thinker or do you want someone? But again, they're only one part of a three-part process. You know, you have Congress, the judiciary, and the executive branch. Mm-hmm. And so within the executive branch, he can do certain things, but he can't do everything.
Yeah.
You know, people are always going to do this, that, and the other. It's like, that would take legislation in that. Mm-hmm. He's not the boss of them.
Right. So do you think getting people back to being more individual is even possible?
Not with our current economy, because this goes back to the beginning of our program, and that is the thing that individuates me from everybody else is that I'm actually doing something different than other people doing it.
Right.
But now we're all, we're all turning out the same. We all work for huge corporations or the government. We're all told what we can think, what we can't think. So individuation, by the way, a lack of individuation, we deal with that in counseling all the time because people basically say, I don't know who I am anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a terrible feeling.
Well, you're not a good mom. You're not a good dad. You're not a good friend. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not going to excel at those things if you don't know who you are.
Right.
There was always that, that idea that, two people standing up straight going down the aisle, that can be a successful marriage. Mm-hmm. But two people who lean on each other, well, somebody's always going to lean more than the other one, and at which point it collapses because nobody can stand on their own.
Right.
And that being said, we have to thank our advertisers and take a swift break. So, Bob, are we good with that? He's giving me. And the silence was deafening. You're listening to We the People. Please join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We'll be back with Guy Asherman in our fireside chat momentito.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies. You twisted my heart till something snapped. Give a damn's busted.
couldn't have this conversation without a little bit of Red Ryder. Come on.
Exactly. All right, so groupthink.
Hold on. We forgot to mention our sponsors for this hour, Powerhouse Solar.
It's my fault.
Yeah. You got me all sidetracked. I think my blood pressure was a little bit high. Powerhouse Solar can fix you up with all your solar needs. You want to put solar on your house, put solar in your field, want to reduce your power consumption, those are the folks that talk to.
No, you want to increase your power consumption, but you want to pay less for it.
That's right.
That's why I would do it.
But they can tell you how to do that. Powerhouse Solar, you can reach them at 530-275-5600 or get them online at powerhousesolar.com. Good folks.
They've been around since 2003.
Yeah.
Bruce and Sue are loads of fun, too.
Yeah.
You'll like them.
I live off-grid.
Do you?
Part of the year. I have some acreage and I camp on it and I put a little travel trailer on it and I set up my one solar panel.
Yeah.
And I have all the energy I need.
There you go.
Yeah. I don't have a well, don't have septic.
Yeah. It can be done.
It can be done. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Well,
plus,
I mean,
it's a good way. It's good information to have just in case too. You're not caught by surprise and then you don't know what to do. You don't know how you're going to make it. So it's a good plan.
Good to know.
So, you know, we were talking about groupthink, and during the break I was telling Guy, years ago we kind of conducted a little experiment ourselves, and we turned off our TV for a month. We did not watch anything. We didn't watch any news.
We didn't own a TV.
Yeah, we just didn't do it. And one thing you'll find right off the bat is if anything important happens, either in the news or in your community or wherever, somebody will tell you about it pretty darn quick. So you don't have to worry about missing anything. And we used to call it the sewer pipe because it just...
Not our house.
Not
the
our
TV.
House. The TV, yeah. It's a 22-inch sewer pipe coming into your house and filling your head full of garbage every day. And so we got off it. And I got to tell you, it really gives you a different perspective. And it gives you time to do things that are much more productive.
Well, when you look around, I mean, most people, you know, I hear people say it all the time. I know you guys do too. That, you know, the world's going to hell. All the young people are just turning into dummies. Just, you know, those types of things. And it's funny because most of the people that I meet during the day are not those people.
So, right.
So really, is that actually happening, or is that something that we're just being led to believe? I mean, we have 14 nieces and nephews. I have the third one is graduating in 3 years. Again, with the one's 3 years with a neuroscience degree out of Texas Christian. I mean, these are kids that are smart. Nobody's living in anybody's basement, you know, or just sitting around waiting for the government to help them. They're going and doing things, and they're in their 20s.
So, and lots of them grew up without television. I mean,
That's true. The Sullivans were non-TVers.
Yeah, they didn't watch TV.
Well, you reminded me of what Bika Brzezinski said on MSNBC earlier this week on Morning Joe when they were having a discussion on the role of journalists. What their role is, and at one point Mika says, well, it's our job to control what the people think, and no one even batted an eye or called her on it.
Yeah. Boy, isn't that frightening?
No, that's awesome. At least they tell the truth. I mean, that is how they see their role.
But how do you see that, Guy, as far as group think? I mean, is that where a lot of I think it is where a lot of people get their daily dose of
their marching orders,
you know, negativity.
No question about it. I think technology is having a really difficult negative impact on our psyche, on our well-being.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bible says, be still.
Mm.
Be still. You know, experience some peace. And you can't. I think that, you know, most of us are addicted to our technology. You know, sit down and you're reading a book and suddenly it dawns on you that your phone is in the other room. What do? You jump up, you go get it, you bring it back, and your computer's within reach as well as the remote control. Just sitting and being still, maybe just meditating, you know. It's been proven, this is scientifically proven, that it changes our brain when we meditate. And it, you know, new neural pathways. It allows us to calm down. We don't keep falling back into the same ruts every time. But we have, you know, our neural pathways right now with media, they're Grand Canyons going through our brain, and everything falls into that Grand Canyon, and we have to be able to change the way we think and see the world. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're walking in the middle of the Grand Canyon down on the bottom and you're trying to jump up out of it, you're not going to see anything of the world outside of the walls of that canyon. And that's, you know, what we're saying here. Everything is so negative. Everything is so bad that we
just can't enjoy. Well, it paints the world in a way that makes people afraid, mm-hmm. for starters. I think the fear, I've always had a thing about fear. Mm-hmm. Fear is very, very controlling. And so when you tell people, you know, this, you know, everybody's out there, you've got to do, you know, mm-hmm. you can't be out at night, you can't be here, you can't be there. I get it. Things do happen.
Sure.
Things happen. But by and large, most people are pretty nice.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, they might be dopey, but they're nice enough. I mean, they'll help you out if you have an issue or whatever. And I think the narrative these days teaches everybody to be suspect. Mm-hmm. Just more than it has in the past. I don't know, maybe it just feels that way to me, but
yeah, kind of a paranoia.
Yeah.
A little bit.
I think if you turn your television off, you'll find that you'll have so much more time to do productive things. And you know what? Pick up a book. Mm-hmm. They've done studies that, you know, when you read, it goes into a totally different part of your brain, mm-hmm. and your retention is better. I mean, there's just so many other things you can do.
And at the end of the day, if you can't walk away from the technology or turn off your TV or whatever, look at something that is I love listening to progressive radio. Mm-hmm. Okay, I laugh most of the time. But I do like it because...
You're polluting yourself.
I know. I do because I listen to it and I'm thinking, oh, no. That's what people are being told.
Right.
It's really illuminating. All of a sudden it
starts
to...
You are fake news.
Bob's got a million of them. It's true, though. It does make you... It makes me kind of feel bad for the other people. So then when I talk to them and they're wholly misinformed, I'm like, oh, I actually know what you were listening to.
Right.
It's really very helpful, though. I can have a better conversation with them because at least I know... I know the vantage point that they're...
Well, in your line of work, too. I mean, you live and breathe politics during the day. Most people don't. And
I actually live and breathe problem solving. And it's in order to actually solve a problem, you have to be able to get to it. And sometimes that's really hard.
Yeah.
So where do you... do we have to take another quick break? I suddenly felt Bob boring a hole inside of my head. That's what I really felt. If we want to just come clean about it. Is there a program for that?
Well, there's a program for everything. There's a medication for it, too.
It's all part of the program.
We used to know a guy who always said that there's a program for that. We're here with Guy Asherman. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
This is your favorite thing, Aaron.
It's Guy's theme song.
Don't care what it is. You need a hand, I can assure you this. I can help. I got two strong arms, I can help. It would sure do me good to do you good. Let me help. Tell them anything you want to. Just don't tell them all the truth. You don't tell them all.
That moment of silence in between, brought to you by
the Reading Public Library.
There you go.
Good one.
All right, we're going to get back on groupthink. Guy, you had some thoughts on
on groupthink.
On groupthink.
And we're here as a group having groupthink on groupthink.
That's right. Mm. Yeah.
Well, just reading from some stuff that I've been looking at in prep for today. A couple of thoughts from studies that have been done. It says, because group members are often very similar in background and values, they are quick to adopt majority decisions. Psychologists call this groupthink. We can combat groupthink by nurturing authentic dissent. But it's so contrary to what the group is there for. They are not there to be objective.
Right.
They do not want authentic dissent. This is no mean feat, as dissenters are often shunned because of the challenge they present.
Yeah, you can't be in the group.
You can't, right. So, you know, the idea of brainstorming and coming up with new ideas and looking at things differently, you will be ostracized from the group. In fact, they've done a study that says the whole concept of brainstorming as a whole, which we still use, a lot of us, we're just trying to get some new ideas. We're trying to stimulate creativity. They have found in studies that brainstorming actually decreases creativity. It doesn't come up with new ideas.
Because nobody wants to be the oddball.
Yes, because you're stuck in a culture.
Right.
You're stuck in a loop. You know, the best decision-making...
The Delphi technique?
The what?
The Delphi technique?
Exactly.
The best thinking and new ideas come from individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to stimulate individual thinking instead of putting down individual thinking. And are we in politics nurturing authentic dissent? Obviously, the answer to that is no. This study goes on. It seems only natural that groups will average out of the preferences of its members, but psychologists have shown this often isn't true. In fact, people are likely to display group polarization when together. Initial preferences actually become exaggerated by group discussions. And so we think even more extreme than we would as an individual because we're being reinforced by everybody else's thinking.
Mm-hmm.
We can reduce this by avoiding homogeneity in group composition. But we don't, you know, people today talk about diversity, 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 but they
but it's
don't.
Becoming
they
less.
Maintain
yep.
The exact opposite. And again, that's not just politics, that's all groups. It says here, finally, the most baffling of our behaviors in groups is our inability to share information effectively. Instead of revealing vital information known only to ourselves, time and again, research has shown that we talk about things everybody in the group already knows. And I have experienced that so
mm-hmm.
much. You know, we're just reinforcing each other and making each other angry, talking about stuff that for years we've already held to. We reduce this counterproductive behavior by recalling relevant information before meetings and ensuring each is aware of others' expertise. Again, it's about individuation. It's not about groupthink, and that all kinds of dysfunctional things come out of how we think. I think Donald Trump represents individuation, think for yourself, and don't get pushed around.
Right.
And that's part of what makes everybody mad, because he isn't going to kowtow to the way we've always done it.
And he's not a team player, according to their thinking.
Right.
But oddly enough, you can't have a business, you can't run a business the size that he has without being a team player. Because
sure.
There's no way you could micromanage it.
Mm-hmm.
You would have to delegate a tremendous amount
right.
because you can't have a business that
right.
that big.
No,
but
it's
funny.
I think
it's all become jealousy, though. That's another little emotion in this mix. You know, they're millionaires and billionaires. They're bad.
No.
And it's like
making money is a sin
well,
in
when,
today's culture.
When did being successful turn?
Right.
You know, make
evil.
You a pariah.
But I think the other thing that does is it kills your ability. You know, with this groupthink, you have no more ability to really communicate and debate.
Right.
They don't really teach that anymore. You know, how to debate
your
position.
If somebody is showing up on a college campus,
right.
that they deem, what did they say? The guy had no redeeming opinions or something like that. I mean,
so that cuts you right out of the conversation.
That means you're not allowed to express that.
Right, right, right.
Which is a little bit, just a little bit weird.
Only their truth is admissible. Anybody else's truth is not admissible.
You can't handle the truth!
And so, you know, when people shout you down for your opinions, it's a lack of argument on their part. Their truth can't withstand the truth that you hold for. And we just have to just keep...
Gosh, and we all know people that you know... use that as a tactic to get their point across, mm-hmm. is they just shout you down until you just finally give up.
Right.
And just walk away.
Theirs is the opinion left on the table.
Well, I mean, come on, global warming, that whole thing
yeah.
is the biggie.
Right.
That's sure. the place where no ideas, like the idea that 97% of scientists have decided that there's climate change. Well, no kidding. I mean, it rained the other day and today it's sunny. I mean, yes, there's climate change. Happens all the time. We have four big shifts a year depending on where you live in the world. Mm-hmm. But they take that to mean that everyone's on the same page. They'll use words like science is settled. Yeah. Well, science by definition can't be settled. Again, we'd be living on a flat earth.
Right.
Not to offend the flat earthers.
Right. Yeah, easy there.
Who are somehow...
Next thing you know, tells me we really did land on the moon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's... I got news for you.
But it is it just is a little bit weird. Yeah. When did ideas become so scary and threatening?
Well, the dynamic of groups is that we do polarize. And because I'm not thinking as an individual, I'm thinking with the group that encourages me to be even a little bit more fanatical. Is that's how come we're hearing today that people are likening, the elitists on either party are being called Nazis.
Right.
Right. Yeah, let's talk about that because I hear that a lot and it's so untrue.
Yeah. And so because that's getting thrown around a lot, I was having lunch with a couple that I know here in town, elderly friends of ours, and they were raised during the time of Hitler's ascension to power in Germany, and the gentleman, in fact, served on the Luftwaffe, and he didn't do any frontline fighting, but he was helping to develop the jet plane, and they actually, the Germans did have the jet plane invented, but they didn't have any fuel towards the end of the war by the time the thing was there and able to run, but... Anyway, I just say that because I don't want you to think that I'm talking about somebody who killed Americans. He did not, but he was a member of the Luftwaffe. And so I said to he and his wife, I said, what was it like growing up in the 30s when Hitler was coming to power? Everybody today is starting to liken perhaps Donald Trump to being Hitler. Can you please speak to me about the differences or the similarities of what you saw?
Going down the same path?
And they laughed. They said, oh, that is so stupid. That is absolutely not true. You know, when Hitler was rising into power, you weren't able to say anything to anybody about dissension at all. In fact, if Trump was Hitler, he's criticizing the media, but he's not overpowering it. He's not taking it
over. Or having them hauled away by military personnel.
Yeah, and he's not killing them. And, in fact, he is for, the Jewish people, so there's a different parallel, a different contrast. But they said no. He and she talked about being in church, you know, how come the churches weren't speaking up? How come they weren't saying things? And they said because we knew that for every time we met, there'd be three or four SS people in a meeting, and if you did speak, you would lose your life for that.
Hauled off and killed.
Yes. Yeah. So, it's not anything like
so what people was happening who actually now. Lived in Nazi Germany who actually know what Nazis and Hitler and all that was like are looking at us and do they think we're hysterical and crazy?
Right. But so groupthink has that power and that capacity for us to exaggerate and swing and reinforce each other in wrong directions. And then we start repeating it as if it is absolute truth.
Yeah.
And we believe it. And we don't even need facts to believe it. The dynamic of group is I believe it because everybody around me that I choose to associate with.
You've got lots of support to back you up.
Right. That's the backup. In fact, media does that all the time.
Sure.
The sources of their information is them.
Yeah, right.
Let's quote each other, therefore it'll sound like
this. And it must be true because they're on television and they're on the radio and they, you know.
Well, at some point, I guess Paul Ryan made a comment that, you know, maybe at some point in the future, you know, privatizing Social Security would make sense. You know, it's something that we should look at for people who are young. You know, maybe they, maybe them putting money aside and not having it handled the way it is. Anyway, he made a comment about that. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Social Security's gone.
Right.
It's gone. All the old people are going to die. I mean, literally, people think that and say that, that we're going to kill all of our senior citizens and take away their Medicare and their Social Security.
Right.
None of those things are actually happening.
Right.
I actually had someone tell me that when they come back from the break next week, when Congress goes back into session next week, they're going to vote to get rid of Social Security. I'm like, okay. Well, federal legislation moves like a snail.
Right.
And if something that large were happening, this would be a debate that goes on for months and months and months. So, you know, just by way of FYI, none of those things are happening. So if you're hearing that or your friends are telling you that, please make them stop.
So what's your recommendation? I mean, people that...
He recommends we take a really quick break. Otherwise, we'll be at the top of the hour, just like we did last time.
Great recommendation.
And we'll have high anxiety again.
Yeah. All right. Back in the box, Bill.
And even Mel Brooks can't help us then.
Yep.
Everyone should go home and watch that, though. It's probably on Netflix. What a great movie. We'll be right back. You are listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
That's Hitler the musical.
Springtime for Hitler.
Yeah.
The Producers.
The Producers. Another funny movie.
From Mel Brooks.
Exactly.
It's good to be king.
Because you know what? We lose the ability to laugh about this stuff. We're just going to be angry all the time. And it's so unattractive.
Yes.
Really and truly. I think anybody who's dealt with the angry people knows it's time for it to end. But, Mel Brooks had a bunch of stuff out in the 70s. When was The Producers, Bob?
That was one of his very first in 1968. The original,
oh, no kidding?
The Mel Brooks, or the Zero Mostel Gene Wilder version.
That's
true. It was in black and white.
Huh. So there you go, The Producers. And, we kind of themed today's show after High Anxiety, which was a takeoff on all the Alfred Hitchcock movies, and that was 1977 Mel Brooks. So if you're too young to remember any of that, you really need to go back and enjoy when we used to laugh about stuff and see if you can rekindle that as, what do they call it when they reinvent it, pretend it's current, but it's really old? I'll think of it.
Yeah, think about it.
All right, table that. Pressing
on. What was the question?
Never mind. Oh, my God. It's turned into a Mel Brooks movie. No, that's the other guys.
Oh, that's the other guys.
We have four stooges guys. Here, not three.
Right. Right.
Sorry, guy.
It's okay.
You're a stooge now. All right. So what have we missed with all this falderall?
Maybe just one last thought about groupthink, and that is that we assess risk differently when we're in a group as opposed to individual.
That's true.
Because I'm not as vulnerable if everybody else is going to be a part of this and maybe they have to go down with me, which means that, again, there's that
which extreme. Is why burning down Starbucks seems like a good idea.
Right. So we become exaggerated in our positions because we assess risk differently. I think an awful lot of folks wouldn't be saying the things that they're saying if they didn't have the fact that the media is reinforcing and supporting. And so they're not feeling vulnerable. Who's going to attack them? But that's true on, you know, if we look at our lives individually, on not politics or anything else, just as a whole, when we get involved with group decision making, we have to be really careful that we assess risk in a realistic way. Because we can find ourselves in a group and all of a sudden find ourselves in a mess, whether it's financial, you know. The group thinks that we all ought to buy this stock or that stock, and it goes down the tubes, and I didn't do my proper assessment or homework on it because everybody else said it was going to be good, you know.
Well, you know, how often did our parents all say, you know, would you jump off a cliff if your friends did it?
Right.
And now it's like, yes, the answer is yes now. The correct answer is totally go do it.
Yeah. And it always has been that way because we tend to get on the bandwagon. It feels good to be on the bandwagon, and that is because of our own individual psychological needs. Our individual psychological needs, there's a lot of lists out there, but they basically are the same. I use a list of five, and that is that everybody needs love, security, belonging, achievement, and recognition. That's why young people join gangs, is because it meets my psychological needs, that I'm connected to other human beings, and they love me, and they provide security for me, and they pat me on the back, and they say, you're a good person, we recognize you. So all of us have those needs, and I think that if we're honest enough, those five needs, love, security, belonging, achievement, and recognition, probably drive every decision we make in life. Somehow I'm going to make decisions that provide for me, even if it's self-sacrificing, it still provides for me a sense of well-being. And if I'm driven by that, maybe because I'm not individuated enough, that I'm finding all of my identity in other people providing those needs for me, then I've become a codependent. I have become a yes man. I have become, I will tell you what you need to hear because that's what's going to make me feel safe.
So how do you get it back? If your parents didn't help you make your own decisions and be an individual, how do you get that back as a grown-up?
You call 941-9003. Higher Ground Counseling would love to work with you to help you find out who you are, you know. And so a lot of times counseling is a part of that. But, you know, we have to have critical thinking ourselves. We have to be able to look at facts. And
if this was somebody's first counseling appointment, what's their homework? Do people have homework? Seems like homework would be good.
Homework is always good.
Okay, so what would you tell them to go out and do just to, like, begin to, like, turn the corner?
Yeah. Sometimes I assign them to write a paper or have a conversation with somebody representing the exact opposite of what you really feel.
And do it without, like, screaming at them and calling them a Nazi?
Yeah, exactly. But there's a lot of things. I happen to think, and I come from a spiritual perspective, that our needs for love, security, belonging, achievement, and recognition come from God.
Mm-hmm.
And he's safe. And he does believe in absolute truths. He is absolute truth. So I don't have to rely upon approval of all the people around me in life in order for me to find some sense of well-being. We can find a sense of well-being by being in relationship with the author of truth. So I think we cannot give our health, we can't put our health into the hands of other fallen, fallible human beings, including you and I.
Sure.
You know, we have to have a sense of something outside of ourselves, something that has a greater sense of authority, a greater sense of safety and love and sacrifice that he has for us. I feel like ultimately it all comes back to, who is God? Who is he in my life? How do I find a sense of safety and relationship with him so I can quit getting torn up by all of these people around me? And by the way, not only is he the source of all love, he's also the source of all peace. He tells me if I have received Christ as Savior, he tells me that I am his child. I am safe. He is never going to turn me away. And because of that, all of the noise around me in life can just fade away because the one who controls all things holds me in his hand.
But so, you have to step away from the chaos long enough
to hear it.
To hear it.
Yeah. Absolutely. You have to turn the stuff off or you won't hear him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's a well-placed message at this particular time in our
Amen.
In our history. Can we get that?
Yes.
All together now.
Amen.
Right on. Well, thank you, Mr. Guy Asherman there from Higher Ground Counseling, that is above the floodwaters even, which is just ironic and funny. You can find all that great information at wethepeopleradio.us. Look at our page for today, which is the 26th of February, and you'll have that there.
There you have it.
So stay out of trouble, be nice, shut your TV off, and watch a Mel Brooks movie this afternoon. Inappropriateness will make you feel happier.
But keep your radio on.